our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Man, if I got a dollar every time you told me I think you're right, I could probably retire from this podcast.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Why don't we put my future wife against your current wife on the board?
That is on the board.
I need to shit on Tom Brady real quick.
You know what, Eli? I think you're a chump.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Great routes. You know, they make me hard.
My porn is concussions.
Believe it or not, I was a pretty athletic guy in my youth.
Yeah, I'm going to choose not to believe it.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 75 of the Friends Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You almost nailed take two of that intro.
Yeah, almost. You know, third time's a charm, though, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, we're not doing that again. Let's get this going.
today we are going to be discussing, we're going to start our divisional previews. We'll discuss the AFC North kind of in-depth, kind of go team by team, position by position, figure out who are the guys that we are interested in, who are the ones we are high or low on in the AFC North. And then the next few episodes will probably be just divisional previews before we get into our positional previews. And that should bring us up right to the regular season. So, Eli, you excited to talk about the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I'm excited to talk about anything other than baseball right now, because basically all my team suck balls. So, you know, I'm 0-0 right now. So right now I'm excited.
All right. Well, let's jump right in with the Ravens. We'll talk about Joe Flacco. What are your thoughts on Flacco for this season? Is he a viable guy in a 1QB league at all?
No. I mean, Flacco's been a pretty solid bye-week fill-in for most of his career. At times, he's been a starter in a big league, I suppose. But now that he doesn't really have a lot of options to throw to, I don't love his receiving core. It might be okay, but there's certainly a good 15 guys or so that are way better than him. He's bye-week fill-in. I wouldn't even keep him as a second quarterback in my roster. I just think you pick guys like this up. Don't stash them on your roster.
Yeah, I think, especially with the depth at quarterback this year, I think Flacco is is only reserved for 2QB leagues or super flex leagues, yeah, which have become more popular, and I'm playing in a couple of those this year.
Well, you're probably playing in a couple of every single format. How many leagues are you going to be in this year, Justin? Like 15?
I am going to be cutting down my amount of leagues considerably this year. I think I will probably be playing in 8 or 9.
Good for you. Stride, slow and steady, baby.
I've actually been turning down offers to play in leagues left and right. I think I'm trying to stick to like one or two industry leagues and then my usual kind of friends leagues and stuff like that.
It's really hard to say no to fantasy offers, but I'm doing better.
And, you know, I mean, I know you don't have a lot of friends, but I do.
Thank you.
So I get a lot of offers. But back to Flacco. I think outside of 2QB leagues, in a 2QB league, though, I do kind of like him because he offers fairly steady production for the most part. You know, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him week to week. He's not typically going to be a top-tier guy, but he's rarely going to extremely disappoint you.
Man, but who is he throwing to? My God. Like,
they've actually, I mean,
I suppose. If Steve Smith bounces back, I guess he's got four guys that have some talent, but none of them are all that special.
Well, we'll talk about the receivers in a moment, but I don't think it's as bad as, let's say, the Niners, for instance. You know, or a couple other teams in the NFL. It's not, I mean, there's no real special talent, extremely special talent, but I think there is some upside, especially if, you know, it's going to be injury dependent because the injuries on this team, especially in the wide receiver core, is what set them back last year. Let's move in and talk about the running backs, and we'll start with Justin Forsett. Is he going to rebound after the injury that kind of cost him last season?
I think he'll rebound a little bit, but I don't see this guy being a guy you can count on week to week. I think some people are excited about Kenneth Dixon. I'm hearing some reports that Terrence West might somehow be the starter when the season opens. I'm not buying that whatsoever, but I did hear that today. But, you know, you got to worry about the injury. You got to worry about his age. You got to worry about Dixon eating into carries. I do think he does have some type of bounce back, but I think he's going to be a frustrating guy. I think this whole team is going to be frustrating for fantasy owners, honestly. I don't think there's a lot of guys you can count on week to week at any of these positions.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the feeling that this is going to turn into a huge clusterfuck in this backfield.
Yes.
I am extremely worried about my Kenneth Dixon pick. I still think he's the best back.
Me too.
And I'm going to avoid Justin Forsett in drafts unless he falls really far. And I'm going to try to bank on Dixon. But I could see this become a, you know, carousel of a committee.
Well, at least they made the right decision by cutting Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, I think every team in the NFL at this point has now cut Trent Richardson.
I'm sure Dallas will pick him up now that Ezekiel's hurt.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Redskins pick him up.
They probably should. Yeah. Matt Jones sucks, Justin.
Ah, stop it. is there any chance that Buck Allen gets involved, you think?
I just think like he's going to be a second or third back, no matter how this shakes out. I don't see him getting a starting role. Maybe he gets a few more. I mean, he did have 137 carries last year. He got a lot of work. I don't see him getting any more work.
Well, he had to. I mean, but when Forsett went down, like, there was nobody left. I liked Buck Allen. He had a 3.5 yards per carry average.
I had 3.8. I have.
Oh, okay. I've got
it. And he did have 45 catches, which is pretty impressive considering he wasn't exactly like a full time guy. But so I do think he's going to have some value. I just don't think this. Is there any way he provides the most value on this team? I guess it's possible, but I think way too many things would have to go his way.
Yeah, I just think it may be smarter to steer clear. This is a year in which it feels like, I haven't done like actually sat down and kind of looked at it. Team by team, but it feels like there are less committees and more established guys this year than in previous.
Yeah, and it could be one of those committees that is just going to just frustrate you week after week. Do you play in any leagues where you draft, instead of drafting individual running backs, you draft like team running backs or anything like that?
No, but it's something that I've toyed with as a thought process in drafts for this year, that I'm only going to draft... a lot of people are going with a zero RB strategy. Some people are just kind of avoiding taking running backs early. I've toyed with the idea of drafting team running backs. So if I, pretty much handcuffing an entire backfield.
I kind of like that idea, actually.
Well, because, I mean, the injuries have been so rampant and so random that, like, if you lose a Le'Veon Bell, you have to be comfortable with starting, D'Angelo Williams the rest of the way. And do you really want to be comfortable doing that? Okay, in Pittsburgh, yes, I am comfortable doing that, if that were to happen. But, for instance, like in San Francisco, I love Carlos Hyde for this year. But if Carlos Hyde goes down, are you comfortable starting any of the Niners running backs rest of the way?
No.
So he should take a hit. In your ranks. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get Carlos Hyde in a couple leagues, in a number of leagues. No, but it's definitely going to take a hit in my ranks because there's nothing behind him. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump in, and we will talk about the wide receivers. Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, Breshad Perriman, Kamar Aiken. Are any of these guys like a blip on your radar? Are you targeting any of them in drafts?
I mean, I suppose there are blips on my radar, but I don't think I have any of them ranked inside the top 40. Do you?
I believe I should probably pull up my ranks for this episode. I believe I have Steve Smith in my top 40.
I think I'm like 44. I mean, it's certainly interesting. He's probably the most reliable. He's definitely the most reliable guy in that. Well, I guess Kamar Aiken had a pretty good year last year, but
yeah, in PPR, my ranks, my ranks change a little bit, or quite a bit with Kamar Aiken, because I like Kamar Aiken as kind of a a wide receiver three in PPR.
Yeah. I definitely like Aiken the most of these guys. I don't know where I have him ranked. I think I need to move him up in my ranks just because he seems like to be the most reliable, consistent guy. And like you said, he's going to be a good PPR option. Mike Wallace makes me want to punch somebody in the face.
Someone took Mike Wallace in the three-sport draft we've got going on right now, and everybody laughed.
Yeah. Do you think Breshad Perriman has any chance to break out? It's going to be...
Yes, but... unless I am getting him extremely cheap, and I mean extremely cheap, I'm not going to take the chance. Like, he's got upside. He's got a ton of upside. But the reports that the knee problems were persisting into this season, that there wasn't a report early in the preseason or in training camp season that he was going to be done for the year. He was going to need surgery again.
I didn't see that.
I seem to remember that, and then it was all, and then it was like kind of like, no, that's not true. It's, he has a high ceiling, but he has like a zero floor.
Yes.
Like, I mean, your floor with him is he never plays a snap this year. You know, like he did last year. He didn't play a snap last year. So, I think he'll probably end up going higher than I'm willing to take him in most drafts. But, you know, for instance, in the three-sport league, I probably shouldn't be saying this on a podcast because a number of guys listen. If he's still around with one of my last football picks, I may take a shot on him because the upside is immense.
Now, there's definitely some upside. I just don't know how much there's going to be with Aiken around, Smith around.
You know, the one thing Joe Flacco can do is throw a pretty good and accurate deep ball.
It's true.
You know, he could be Brandon Cooks, you know, or Brandon Cooks like. I believe in Breshad Perriman's upside. You know, last year I was one of the proponents of do not draft him because he was going way too high in drafts. And you know, this year I think the hate maybe has gone a little bit too far. Like I said, we're around 42 of our three-sport draft. You know, and of course that drafts baseball, basketball, and football. But at this point, you know, we're seeing guys like Mike Wallace go off the board, and Breshad Perriman is still on the board. So I think there may have been a little bit of a overcorrection in terms of where people are drafting him this year. Let's go ahead and talk about the tight end situation. Ben Watson is there this year. Max Williams is still there. Either of these guys going to be tight end twos this year?
I could see a scenario where they're both kind of tight end twos. Obviously, Max Williams got a lot of talent, but they brought in Watson for a reason. They needed a veteran in there. I think that both guys that are bye week fill-ins, one of them could emerge and be a decent back end tight end one, I suppose, but I think they're both going to eat into each other a little bit, so it might be frustrating as well to own the tight ends on this team.
Yeah, I was really hoping that Max Williams would kind of have the role all to himself this year.
Yeah,
I was really excited because Flacco has shown in the past that he likes throwing to the tight end. Williams is, you know, a big body, decent hands. And I really thought this could be the year that it all comes together for him. I don't know why they brought in Ben Watson. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think they kind of cancel each other out. Let's talk about your favorite player in the entire NFL, and that is Justin motherfucking Tucker.
Damn straight. He really is my favorite player in the NFL. I don't know what that says about me.
This is going to be the only kicker I think we talk about during the team previews. We'll do a positional preview, me and Eli, with kickers in it, and that will be exhilarating. But Eli, tell me why you love Justin Tucker so much.
Well, I mean, entering before last year started, he was the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL. I think maybe he slipped down to number two at this point. Yeah, he's behind Dan Bailey now, so he's ahead of Gostkowski. And the thing I love about Tucker, he's definitely capable of hitting 50 plus yarders. And I love kickers on offenses that are solid, but not good enough to get in the red zone score those touchdowns consistently. So they'll move the ball, but will they be able to pound it in the end zone? Probably not. So they'll have to settle for field goals all day. And that's what the Ravens do, and that's what Justin Tucker's done in his career. He's always at the top five in fantasy. He's just really good, really consistent, big leg. So, I mean, I think you got to have him in your lineup, baby. The funny thing is I have him ranked the lowest of anyone on the site. I have him at 3. A couple other people I've met, too. I mean, he's easily one of the top 3 guys.
So last season we did have rule changes that affected the kicking position. Did you learn anything from kind of the kicker position? Do you really focus now on more having an accurate guy, and that's why Justin Tucker kind of moves up your ranks?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm drafting a kicker any earlier than I usually do.
Okay, I'm just
checking. No, he's always one of my top 3 kickers ranked. Like, nothing changes from the rule changes. I mean, yeah, a couple more extra points are missed, but don't draft shitty kickers and that won't happen.
Well, because, I mean, Bogman from the ITL podcast was talking to you and I after last week's show when we had him on and told us that there's some guy out there that is advocating taking Steven Gutkowski in the 5th round or something like that.
That's stupid.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the three sport, or towards the end of the 3-sport draft. I think we've got about 15 rounds left, 13 rounds left, and only one person I think has taken a kicker so far.
Well, that's not true. I know Gostkowski and Hauschka are both gone. I think
that's right. You're right. Yeah. So 2 people have taken kickers. I'm still of the mind that kicker is the last thing I take.
Yeah.
I'm going to do, before we do our kicker episode, I'm going to do a little bit more in depth research and see the kind of the differences between 2014, 2015 in terms of the rule change, how that may have affected fantasy, but I don't think it affected that whole bunch. I mean, he's still in the position where last year, the difference between the number 3 kicker and the number 14 kicker is, 20 points.
So 1 point a week.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go ahead.
I was going to say, if the next time you have free time, you're going to look into the difference between kicking last year and the year before, you need to get out more, buddy.
Well, I'm married with children. I don't really have much of a life.
Well, I have no girlfriend, no children, and I still don't have a life. So if that makes you feel any better.
It really doesn't. Let's move on and talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton, is this a year where he kind of puts it together?
Well, I mean, I think Andy Dalton is kind of like Flacco. He is what he is at this point. I think obviously Dalton's better than Flacco, but I mean, Dalton's solid. He's one of those guys that you don't really want as your QB1, but in a QB2 league, you love him as your QB2, and he's a great bye week fill-in. And if your main guy gets hurt and you have to roll with Dalton for a while, you're perfectly content with that. I have him at 16. He's certainly capable of being a guy that finishes in the back end of the top 10. But I do think the loss of Marvin Jones hurts a little bit. I think his receiving core is a little bit worse than it was last year. And if Tyler Eifert misses any time, that also hurts him as well. So I think he's solid. He's reliable. I'll take him on my team, but I don't want to roll him out every week.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of he is a perfect QB2 in a 1 QB league. I think he has very limited upside, though we have seen some pretty interesting seasons from him in the past. Years in which he kind of goes off. So, I mean, I guess he does have a tiny bit more upside than maybe I'm giving him credit for. But, like, in the area where we have him ranked, you have him at 16, I have him at 17. If you look at, the Friends of Fantasy Benefits staff rankings, we have him around guys like Winston and Derek Carr and Mariota, even ahead of Matt Ryan. All guys who have in the past offered a ton, offer a ton of upside. Matt Ryan's in the past offered a ton of upside. So, I mean, in a 2 QB league, would you rather have someone like Andy Dalton who probably would give you steady production? Or would you rather have a guy like Mariota, Winston, Matt Ryan, who has a much higher ceiling?
I think I'd rather have the higher ceiling because even Dalton might be a little bit more steady than those guys, but even if Carr and Mariota don't take a step forward and don't reach that ceiling, they're still going to be pretty close to what Dalton gives you anyway. And like you said, I don't think Dalton doesn't have massive upside, so I think I'd rather go with a little bit upside there.
I'm really looking forward to doing the positional preview shows because I'm looking at some of our ranks for in the positions. How am I the highest by far on Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, what is happening here?
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it kind of is, babe. Wow. Yeah, by three spots over anyone else.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's crazy. All right, well, we'll save that for the AFC South preview, or for the quarterback preview. Let's move in and talk about the running back situation. Will Jeremy Hill bounce back this year?
I think he will. I think it's going to be a pretty good offense. He's pretty talented. He's a touchdown machine. I still think it's going to be frustrating because we all know that Giovanni Bernard is going to cut into the workload and take a lot of the fantasy points away like always. So I don't think really anything changes from last year, do you?
I'm a little bit more optimistic that he can kind of rebound. And I'm not as worried about Bernard cutting in. I think if he rebounds, then he will get more of a workload than Bernard. And Bernard will continue to be more of a change of pace guy in a passing situations.
Bernard did have 1.1 more yards per carry and is obviously much better in the receiving game. So I do think Bernard could...
I don't think... Bernard can't hold up to an every down workload.
I mean, he did have over 200 touches, which is not that much less than Jeremy Hill did.
I know, but those are the majority of those touches are outside of the box. You know, he can't run between the tackles in the same way that Hill can. I think Hill is the first second down guy. I think he could have a kind of return to 2014 kind of season, and Bernard will continue to be more of the guy that, I mean, he catches, you know, a ton of balls, 49 last year. I think he could easily catch, you know, over 50 this year and improve on those numbers. But in terms of rushing, I still believe Hill is the guy.
Well, you better hope Jeremy Hill bounces back, because you got to think some of those touchdowns he has last year are going to go away. He had, I think, the third highest amount of carries inside the three. So, I mean, I suppose that could happen again, but he's going to have to either improve on the yards per carry or, once again, capitalize on just about every single goal line opportunity he's got.
Yeah. Let's talk about the wide receiver core in Cincinnati. And that's AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, Brandon LaFell. Any of these, you know, I mean, AJ Green is obviously a top tier guy. Do you believe he deserves to be a top five wide receiver?
Yep. That's exactly where I have him. Number five. I haven't had Julio Jones actually. I just think that he's going to get even
more. Wait, what? You have him ahead of Julio Jones?
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry.
Oh, I was about to say. I was like,
No, I don't.
You have him ahead of Dez Bryant, which for you is interesting.
Dez worries me. He's just a little bit of a head case, and he feels a little bit more likely to get hurt. And also, Romo's more likely to get hurt than Dalton. So there's a lot of things.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's a good thing that the Bengals lost Marvin Jones for Green's value, or is it a bad thing? Or does it just kind of wash out?
I don't think it affects Green's value at all.
Yeah, me neither.
I was never much of a Marvin Jones fan to begin with. I think the Bengals will be fine.
I think Marvin Jones is probably getting a little overrated, but I definitely think he's better than what they're going to be rolling out now.
Yeah, I guess. I really like Tyler Boyd. I think Tyler Boyd could be a very I don't want to say special player because I don't think he has that high of a ceiling.
Rookie receivers suck.
They don't always suck.
I know they don't always suck, but
they have LaFell to kind of, you know, ease him in. Like, they don't need Tyler Boyd to be great right away. You know, they have LaFell, he'll be fine. You know, he'll definitely be way worse than Marvin Jones. But I think at some point Tyler Boyd, especially in PPR leagues, like, he's going to be my last pick in every league.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and talk about Tyler Eifert. How worried are you about this injury coming into this season?
I'm not all that worried. I think if he misses a game or two, which is it's possible, but big deal, you can easily find a fill-in tight end for a couple weeks. He's just, I think with the fact that their second receiver is kind of suspect right now, he's going to get a ton of targets. He was really good in the red zone last year. He's a big target. He's an emerging player. I really do love Eifert. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, I'm not very worried either. It's interesting to me looking kind of people's ranks at tight end this year, because I feel like there is a pretty deep crop and then it falls off.
Yeah, where would you say the line is? I'd say there are like 15 guys or so.
I think there is, I'm looking at my ranks. Yeah, I think there's 15 guys. Yeah. Now, my 15 guys are way different than your guys' because I'm looking at my 15th guy, and then I'm looking at your guys' rankings. My 15th guy is Charles Clay, and I'm going, wow, like, well, you guys hate him. But
our ranks are pretty similar. Other than, well, I'm higher on Ladarius Green. You're higher on Gates.
I think everybody's ranks are pretty similar, you know, in the top 8 or 9.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's like a fair amount of depth, and then it completely drops off, and you're kind of, and then it's a crapshoot from there. So I don't think you need to bank on. I don't think you need to like go after Eifert. There are other guys that I like a little bit more. There are guys I like a little bit less. He definitely has some upside, but I am a little bit worried, and I'm not going to take the risk. I think tight end for me, there is some real risky guys there. You know, the Jordan Reeds, the Tyler Eiferts. The Jimmy Grahams, and I don't know if I'm willing to take the risk this year on them.
Well, Jimmy Graham's going at a good spot in the draft, so I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, I think he's one I'm probably willing to take the risk on. But, like, I will have no teams with Jordan Reed on it. I probably won't have any teams with Tyler Eifert on it either. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time, on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99, that's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right. Let's jump into the second half of these teams in the AFC North. We've got the Cleveland Browns. Who will be the starting QB for the Cleveland Browns this season?
I think you know him very intimately. RG3, right?
Well, I mean, there are reports that he's not going to just be given the job.
Well, okay. They're going to say that because they want a competition. But, he might not be given the job. But who else are they going to give it to?
Josh McCown?
Yeah, I know, but there's some rumors that Josh McCown might get traded to Dallas. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe
Dallas. Nick Foles spurned you guys?
Yes, it's devastating that we lost out to Nick Foles. But, I mean, Dallas is, they have to be, I mean, I feel like this, I'm of two minds of this one in terms of backup. You got to have a good backup quarterback these days, but at the same time, if you lose your starting quarterback, you're fucked anyway. So
yeah, right? The drop-off between first string and second string is so vast that losing your starter, I mean, look at what happened to the Colts last year, losing Luck. Played great, you know, but, you know, the drop-off is tremendous between... But,
yeah, and then who needs a backup quarterback more than Dallas? I mean, Roma gets hurt a lot, and they're a team that they feel like they can compete, so, and my God, they have no backup right now, so they had no backup before the injury to whatever the fuck his name is.
Roma?
No.
Oh.
The backup guy broke his leg. Steven something, whatever his name is.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. But I suppose McCown could start, but they're not going anywhere. You may as well see what you got in RG3. Unless he completely bombs in the preseason, I feel like it's RG3's job.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think you're right. I think McCown either gets moved or cut.
Well, I don't think he's going to get cut.
Well, they drafted a quarterback, I believe, and they've got another guy on the roster. So I think they move him or cut him. They've got Austin Davis. They have Cody Kessler, who they drafted. I think if they can't find a trade partner for McCown, which I would suspect they could, I think he probably does get cut.
Kellen Moore is the Cowboys quarterback. They broke his leg.
Ah, there we go. So do you think that Griffin can return back to viability as a fantasy starter?
No, I love RG3, but I feel like the only way he does that is if he runs a lot, and I don't see that happening with his injury history and all that. He doesn't want to be a runner anyway, so I do think his receiving core could be better than some people might expect. They have some talented guys over there, and if Josh Gordon comes back in week five and returns somewhat to his former self, he's got some options to throw to. But there's way too many things would have to break, right? I just don't see RG3 ever being a great fantasy player ever again.
I disagree. I think he can.
But is he's not going to run, man.
I think he can. Why wouldn't he? I mean, I understand, like, there's injury risk for him no matter where he is on the field, you know? And if he's going to be on the field, he just needs to play to his strength, and that's running. And he's in Hugh Jackson's offense, which is, like, perfect for a running quarterback. I think, you know, here's the thing with Griffin. I think he could be a fantastic quarterback. I think he could be a top five quarterback for half a season. Because he's probably not making it through a full season.
Yeah, see, this is my point. He's going to get hurt. He hasn't been fantasy relevant since 2012, man. I know he's still young and talented. I love the guy. I think it was a brilliant move for Cleveland. Why not take a shot on a guy with that kind of potential? Because they had nothing else. But I don't see him ever being a starter again for a good fantasy team.
All right. I disagree with that. But let's talk about the running back situation. You have Duke Johnson, Isaiah Correll. Is this the year Duke Johnson breaks out?
Well, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be this year. He doesn't have a whole lot of competition. Correll's fine as a backup, I suppose, but they're going to give Duke Johnson every opportunity. Obviously, he's a talented guy who can catch a lot of passes, and maybe he gets a big workload on this offense because they don't want RG3 carrying the load, and they're going to be without Gordon for several weeks. So I think Johnson's going to get every opportunity. He's definitely got some of the highest upside among running backs where he's going in the draft, so I'm willing to take a chance on him.
Is Correll underrated?
Yeah, I think people give him a little too much shit. I think he's just, I don't think he's a starter. He's just a good backup that's somewhat reliable, who's got a little bit of skills. But, you know, I don't think he's anything more than that.
I think he is an interesting guy to bank on. I mean, or not bank on, but to draft. I think he's going pretty late in drafts.
Correll or Johnson?
Correll.
You just love you were all in on the Browns.
Well, no, here's the reason why. It's not that I love him or the team. It's Duke Johnson has had injury issues. There's no one else on the roster, really, that makes any sense at running back.
It's true.
If Johnson were to go down. I mean, Correll had, like, 700 yards rushing last year in kind of a split carry role. If something were to happen to Johnson, you've got to think he's going to be the man there. I don't think he's good, but, I mean, in this day and age, you know, opportunity matters almost as much as talent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, plus he's going extremely late. I mean, he could be your running back 4 or 5 and end up being a starter here pretty soon if Duke Johnson can't stay healthy. I like Duke Johnson. I prefer him in a PPR.
Yeah, you're right. Where he's going, he's certainly worth it at that point. And nothing but, you know, the only positive things can happen if you draft a guy that late anyway.
Let's talk about the wide receiver core. We spoke a little bit about these guys kind of already because it's mostly a bunch of rookies and Josh Gordon. So we'll probably keep this discussion short. What are your thoughts on the wide receiver core as a whole?
Well, I don't love their quarterback, obviously, in terms of getting them the ball consistently. So that hurts their value. Obviously, Gordon's going to miss 4 weeks. I'm probably not going to be drafting him, but I think he's probably just going to quickly move up the draft boards. Is that what's happening? Because I feel like that's what's happening.
I think he is, going to move up the draft boards just kind of crazily. It seems ridiculous. I mean, the moment I was in a number of drafts when, like mock drafts and slow drafts and things like that, and all of a sudden he just comes off the board. Didn't matter where it was in any draft, he just came off the board. And I think you're going to see him just skyrocket, which I like Josh Gordon, but there's a lot of question marks around what kind of player he's going to be after a year off.
Where do you have him ranked among your receivers right now?
I think I have him...
Well, actually, I'm looking at it. We have him at the exact same spot, 33.
Yeah. And I think that feels to me pretty bullish.
Yeah. And he's probably going to go earlier than that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think he's the perfect, like, late key, or, you know, wide receiver 3. Like, I think he should be a wide receiver 3. You know, mid to late wide receiver 3, depending on your depth of your league. But I think most people are going to take him as a, like, kind of mid to high-end wide receiver 2, and I think that's insane, especially with the depth at wide receiver this year.
I just don't see how he... It's been 3 years. Like, I just don't see how he's going to be in the same shape, have the same explosiveness, He's going to have a new quarterback. Everything would have to kind of go right for him to be worth where he's going in draft.
Yeah, I like Hugh Jackson as a coach. I think he could get a lot out of RG3, a lot out of Josh Gordon, a lot out of the team. But you're right. I mean, we're still talking about a perennial loser in the Browns. I mean, how much upside does he really have, especially a year out of football? Let's talk about Gary Barnage.
Shouldn't we talk about Corey Coleman a little bit?
Go ahead. Yeah, talk about Corey Coleman.
Yeah, we already know how I feel about rookie receivers. I'm not a big fan. I do like him, and with Gordon out, he should get a lot of run in terms of a rookie receiver. Most receivers kind of ease their way in. He might get thrown in out there right away, but I still have him ranked 53, which is the lowest of all the rankers on Francis Fancy Benefits, but pretty much right where you add him to.
Yeah, I think he reminds me a ton of, and I think his career path will probably be better than Torrey Smith. He reminds me a ton of Torrey Smith.
Yeah, and I hate guys like that. I hate receivers that are like, if you don't score a touchdown, you're screwed.
Yeah. So I think he's one of those guys that is going to have big weeks, and then I think there's going to be weeks in which he really struggles. So I'm not banking my fantasy season on Corey Coleman. Let's go ahead and talk about Gary Barnage, though. Is what we saw last year real?
I think so. I think that it's going to be tough for him to duplicate that with the quarterback situation they have right now. Who else are they going to throw to, especially with Gordon now for the first 4 weeks? So I think he's going to get a lot of catches. Maybe he won't score as many touchdowns, but I think he's going to be pretty solid, pretty reliable. He's definitely a fantasy starter. You plug him in there, and you know you're going to get some production, whether he scores a touchdown or not. I have him at number 7.
I have him at number 7 as well. So does Mike and Eric. Ben just one spot below us at number 8. I almost wonder if that's too low. Like, I think that, you know, I can't remember who I was talking to that was questioning whether or not, he would be able to repeat the numbers with RG3. My recollection of RG3 is he likes throwing to the tight ends.
Yeah, that's fine. But I think the other 6 are clearly either better talents or have better quarterbacks throwing to them. So I think even if Barnage is 100% legit, I still think he could finish outside the top 6.
Let's move on and talk about the last team we're going to talk about. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where do you have Ben Roethlisberger ranked this year?
I got Ben Roethlisberger at number 7, which is right in the middle of where everyone else has him. Obviously, he's really talented. He throws a ton. He's got a good offense around him. I do think it takes a little bit of a ding with Bell out 4 weeks and with Martavis Bryant suspended for the year, but he's definitely a fantasy starter, and I'll gladly take him on my team.
I have him as my number 5 quarterback. I think that, especially with Le'Veon Bell's now suspension, that Roethlisberger could have a real step forward. I really like Sammy Coates this year. We'll talk about him in a moment. I think this is the year that Ben rebounds after the injury and is really, really good. So I think I could be a tad bit high on him, but I see the weapons he has. I see the system and how they like to run it. And I really like Roethlisberger this year as a top 5 quarterback. Let's talk about the Le'Veon Bell suspension. We talked about it a little bit. Have you dropped him in your ranks yet?
Yeah, I did drop him from, I think I had him at 1 to start, maybe 2, and now I have him at 7. I mean, there's just so few running backs you can trust. It's hard to be taking one in the first round that won't be playing for 4 weeks because you have to get into a good position to even make the playoffs. So if you start off 1-3, how much good does having Le'Veon Bell really help you? So I'm reluctant to take him, but if you're confident in your draft strategy and how well you draft typically, then you could certainly go for it in the first round and then get a nice boom to your lineup starting in week 5. But it's certainly risky.
Yeah, I dropped him from 1 to 4. I may move him behind Lamar Miller, but I'm really having a hard time doing that because especially with Lamar Miller, kind of boom or bust and injury history, and it's hard for me. I think if you can make it, depends on the depth of your league, obviously. But if you can make it through the suspension, I think you'll be a stud the rest of the way. So I don't even have a problem if people want to just wait on running back and take him in the second, you know, late second, early third round. Let's move on over. Oh, let's talk about D'Angelo Williams. Must handcuff this year like he was last year?
Absolutely. I have him at 37. I don't think I adjusted it after the Bell ranking, so I'd probably move him up about five spots or so, around 33. I really like him. He was incredible the 4 weeks that Bell was out last year. And like I said, I used to not be a handcuff guy, but last year really convinced me you got to be a handcuff guy these days. And obviously with suspension, it's even more important in this case. So it's a great offense. So even if when Bell comes back, D'Angelo Williams will put up numbers from time to time. I really like him, so you got to do it.
All right. I completely agree with that. Let's talk about the wide receivers there. Antonio Brown, is he the number one overall player this year?
Yeah, he is for me. He's just so amazing. With Brian out, they might even throw it to him even more. He's incredible. You can't think about running backs. You can't fully trust them. Receivers, you can. Stud receivers are stud receivers. You could get unlucky and Brown could get hurt. But if he stays healthy, you know he's going to be a complete stud. So you're not going to lose value by taking him number one overall. So I'm all in on that one.
What about the other two guys, Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates?
How many chances does Marcus Wheaton need to have before we realize that, you know what,
he's just not very good?
Yeah, he's okay, and he'll have some value from time to time because with that offense, they throw so much. So, yeah, he might have a couple 100-yard games whether Sammy Coates beats him out or not, but I'm not drafting him with the expectation that, oh, man, he's going to fill the Martavis Bryant slot. That's just not going to happen. And, yeah, I think Sammy Coates, like you said, I'm more excited about him. I think he's probably more talented. They're going to give him a lot of opportunities, whether he's starting in the slot or not. So I'm kind of excited about his prospects this year.
Yeah, I think if anybody can do what Bryant can do, I would think it's going to be Sammy Coates. It's not going to be Marcus Wheaton. And I'm really excited to see him. I mean, he's a guy with good size and good speed, should be heavily involved in the passing game. I think that Coates... My only fear with Coates is that he catches so much helium in kind of draft season that he starts going at outrageous prices. I haven't checked his ADP yet, but I bet it's been rising slowly because he has been a very talked-about guy among fantasy analysts. Let's go ahead and talk about Ladarius Green. He's finally free from San Diego, finally not having to play behind Antonio Gates. Is this the year Ladarius Green delivers on the promise that people have had for him, or is he just going to be injured constantly?
I think he delivers. Maybe he's not as good as we thought a couple years ago, but I still think he's pretty talented, and now he's finally going to have the clear job. He's got no competition whatsoever behind him. I think he's going to get a ton of looks, especially with Brian out for the year and Bell out for 4 weeks. He's got a great quarterback throwing to him. He's not got to share playing time. I think he's a clear starter in fantasy, and I think he's got the potential to be a stud. It's definitely in the cards that might happen. But either way, at the very least, I think he's a guy that you can plug in every week as your starter and be perfectly content.
I think he is a boomer bust guy.
But how can he bust, though? If he stays healthy, I don't think he can really bust, right?
Oh, yeah, but that's a huge if.
I know, but everyone can get hurt.
Isn't he hurt right now? I'm pretty sure he's coming into the season kind of injured. But he's one of those guys. He's got major upside, but he's also got, you're going to get nothing from him, as a downside. So I think, you know, we're in a position now where, you know, if that's okay with your league, if you can afford to roster a second tight end in your league and, you know, there are plenty of leagues that you can, and there are plenty of leagues that you can't. I think you have to roster a second tight end with Ladarius Green. For instance, one of my favorite things to do this season is going to be draft Ladarius Green and Charles Clay.
Yeah, I'm down with drafting two tight ends for sure. I just think that he's got an incredible quarterback thrown to him. He's got the clear job, and he's really talented. I just think... I'm not going to be scared away by the injuries. It looks like he's banged up right now, but they said that they fully expect him to be ready for week one. So I'm kind of all in on Ladarius Green right now.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up. Eli, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
You can make fun of all my fantasy analysis and picks at EliFWFB on Twitter.
All right. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can email me or the show, friendswithfantasybenefits@gmail.com. Definitely check out all our football pods. But, hey, if you're into baseball, check out our baseball podcast. I do all my football writing at friendswithfantasybenefits.com. My baseball writing typically goes over to FanGraphs. Feel free to give us a 5-star review on Twitter, on iTunes. And if you tweet it to me, I will get you into whatever sort of listener league we're doing. I'm thinking about maybe instead of doing a listener league, maybe we'll do a listener pool of some sort, either a survivor pool, or we'll do a pigskin pick'em pool type thing. And that way we don't have to worry about consolidating draft dates and stuff like that. But please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would help us out quite a bit. And that will wrap us up. For Eli and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.